Richard Roper is here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis.
Hi.
There you are.
All reeling from the only story people are talking about today, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez playing the Super Bowl show.
Never performed together before.
Gosh, the karaoke, we're going to see that day. It's going to be amazing. Too soon?
Yes, but great performers.
But they'll move nicely, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The dancing will be incredible.
Here's my prediction for you.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be some fantastic pyrotechnics, actual fireworks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some sort of audience participation thing where everybody either is going to have like a glow wristband or a light or a card that they're going to flip at some point.
Yeah.
There's going to be 250 child actors who are going to run out onto the field. Not like they can't believe they're there. And there will be 564,000 snide remarks on Twitter about how neither one of them are singing any of those songs.
Ooh.
They're lip syncing. And a special guest by somebody, you know, some hipster rapper will join at one point.
There's got to be. I
Chance.
Was thinking that.
Shakira.
Oh, yeah. Chance would be awesome.
Chance would be
Chance.
Good way to
somewhere
go.
Else that day.
Yeah. No, I don't know, because he'd become like a Super Bowl hero now because he had the, that's where he did the New Kids on the Block thing, right?
Yeah.
Or was it NSYNC or what? Which band was that? I don't even know the difference 98 anymore.
98 degrees of NSYNC on the block.
There will be. Can I add to the prediction? There will be a moment where J Lo will put her arms straight out, and she will be picked up by Nubian dancers.
That's true.
And then twirled around like basically like she's on a cross.
That's
and
true.
Then
that's
100% and not miss a single note while that is
amazing.
Happening.
Amazing. And one of them will become her 12th husband, much to the dismay of A-Rod.
All right.
Julio has some ideas for his own show, too. You know, he's not just a dancer.
Okay, so this is really good. If I could just get a little behind-the-scenes action here.
Sure.
So Anna, earlier today, said to me, she goes, "What is Jennifer Lopez doing?"
She just looks so amazing. And then she wore the same, the throwback dress that she wore at the Grammys back in the day when
green.
She was this rising star, the green Versace, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she just rocked it. Did you see her?
Well, that's her full-time job.
I mean,
that's,
look,
you know,
I mean,
that's
like,
I say to people, don't feel bad when you see the 50-year-old singer, dancer, actress who looks like they're 32 because that is their actual job.
That's true.
So if you didn't have to do anything else other than to get into shape, stay in shape, continue to work out, have somebody cooking the perfect meals, et cetera, doing rehearsals, you would look like that too. You'd look better.
I'm not sure about that, but hanging out with A-Rod might be good for you.
People are always like, look, I can't believe how those Hemsworth brothers are in such great shape. That's what they do. They're not going, they're great guys. They're not studying for their doctorates on the side. All right, Mike, look at this. I can pick up half of Australia. I'll pick up the other half.
And she's getting, is she really getting Oscar buzz for the Hustlers movie?
I disconnected that buzzer,
okay.
So the buzz is down.
No more buzz. So. We've unbuzzed
But there
it.
Was buzz.
There's a little buzz. But you know what?
You liked that movie a lot.
I did like the movie. I think the talk about Jennifer Lopez being nominated for an Oscar was some fantastic early film festival publicity by Jennifer Lopez's team in the film.
Okay.
And A-Rod.
I've seen probably 25 performances that I'd put ahead of hers. She's fine in it. She's perfectly fine in it.
Yeah.
It's the fourth best performance in the film.
Oh.
And that's
ouch.
Because there's a lot of good performances in the film.
Okay.
But hey, you know, there's another film getting Oscar buzz.
Yes.
Okay, what's
it's
that?
Called Judy. I'm glad you asked. It comes out this weekend. And this one actually is getting a lot of Oscar buzz for Renee Zellweger. She's playing Judy Garland, and
that's almost, a high wire act.
Yeah, and it is definitely a high wire act. Judy Davis did it in a miniseries a while back, and was great at it. But Rose absolutely right, because I mean, you talk about your 20th century icons. It's like if you're going to play Marilyn Monroe, but you're even maybe more so because Judy Garland has such a following. And Renee Zellweger is getting a lot of Oscar buzz. I think she might get nominated. I'm not so sure. I think she deserves to be nominated. I'm not a huge fan of the film. Here's the story of Judy the movie. It's based on a stage play, and it looks like it was based on a stage play. It has that over-the-top theatrical feel all the time. It takes place in the winter of 68-69 in London. Judy Garland was 46 years old. She was 6 months away from, unfortunately, tragically, dying. I mean, she was at the very end of a career. She was desperate for money. She was going to lose custody of her two young children. She was still considered a huge icon, so she booked a series of shows. They booked her for a running gig at a theater in London for sold-out shows. So it's all about how, one night she's spectacular, the next night she's wandering around stage and wobbling, and drunk and on pills. And next day she doesn't show up. And then they show flashbacks to the 13, 14-year-old Judy Garland, played by a different actress, of course, and Louis B. Mayer, the studio head of MGM, just, you know, completely exploiting her. They've got her on diet pills. They won't let her have her own life. So they show her the two, you know, the very, very miserable and sad and tragic start of her career, and then the horrifically sad train wreck end of her life, and they don't show anything in between. So you get very little of any of the joy that Judy Garland ever had from performing or gave to people, because half the time when she's on stage in London, they're booing her.
So is it all about retracing the darkness of her life, where it originated?
It's those two. It's when she's 46 and it's when she's 14, basically. They never show anything like when she was in Star is Born or anything like that. Mm. And then a lot of battles, you know, the various husbands and terrible financial things. I mean, she was literally homeless when she took the job in London, living out of hotels and on, you know, off of others, but had lost all her money. You know, some of her husbands ripped her off, some managers. She didn't take care of herself. And her career wasn't what it was. You know, you realize she was only 46, 47 years old, but it had been 20 years almost since she had been a big star in Hollywood. So we got a little bit. Are you ready for this? We got a little. We're gonna play two versions, this little bit of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Okay. One's going to be Renee Zellweger. Mm-hmm. One's going to be Judy Garland. All right?
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of.
Okay. All right, in a lullaby.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
Okay. All right, well, the first one's Renee Zellweger.
Absolutely. And this is no slight. People are saying, how dare you compare her? I'm like, well, she's playing her in a movie. So, you know, we get
to do that.
And I think even from that little clip, you can tell Renee Zellweger, she's a pretty good singer, dancer. Yeah. She was in Chicago.
Right,
I remember that.
I thought that was good.
It seemed to me like she was doing an impersonation of Judy Garland there. And, you know, look, hardly anybody had that full richness. That's Judy Garland when she was 15 years old, by the way, right? Singing that. But
literally with her boobs taped down.
Because they wanted to make her look.
She was too developed.
She's playing a little girl.
Right.
As Dorothy, you know, and she was 16, I think, when the film was finally finished. And this is no slight. Look, it's a good impersonation, but when you think of something like when Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, it was more than an impersonation, I thought. You know, when Joaquin Phoenix played Johnny Cash, even what Taron Egerton did with Elton John, where it wasn't necessarily, certainly can't sing like Elton John because nobody can, but they went in a different direction with it, which took some of the pressure off him. But when you've got someone playing Judy Garland on stage in London with a big band and dancers doing full numbers of like the Trolley Song, you can't help but think, well, again, no offense, but I think there are probably 50 or 60 Judy Garland tribute acts out there that are probably just as good. So the film,
and half of them are dudes.
Well, yes.
The viewing parties on this are going
to
be great.
That is true. Yeah.
I did say earlier, I am going to the Pete Buttigieg fundraiser viewing party for this. Hey, I don't clarify why I said that about her, about being taped down and all that. That goes to the Louis B. Mayer piece.
Yes.
Where that's in that miniseries you talked about with Judy Davis.
Yeah.
That is you see what they did to her. They physically were trying to alter her.
Yes.
And then when she was having pain as a result of all the alterations, that's when they were putting her on the pills.
Yes.
And it was like, I mean, what happened to her as a child actress is, it's unfathomable. And I don't know if today that still happens. I don't know. But but you certainly, you know, the lawsuits would be raining down in a moment like that.
I fear some of that stuff still happens.
So you don't like this
movie. So 2.5 stars is it's sort of, I could see why some people are going to go and love it. And it's certainly well done. But for all the things we're talking about, I feel like, you know, it could have been more. And I think Renee Zellweger is going to get nominated. It's the kind of performance that wins Oscars. We see this. I mean, how many times have actors won Oscars for playing singers? Whether going all the way back to Funny Girl, right? And just last year, Rami Malek for playing Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And we mentioned, you know, Joaquin Phoenix didn't win, but Reese Witherspoon did win for playing June Carter, and Joaquin was nominated. Jimmy Foxx did win. There's probably 15 performances that have won Best Actor or Best Actress where actors have played real-life singers. Sissy Spacek deserved it for Coal Miner's Daughter playing Loretta Lynn, because if you go back and look at that movie, She's amazing throughout, not just in the musical sequences. And it's just a better film. I mean, it's a full story, an incredible story about her rise.
So maybe the material wasn't here, really.
The material, again, and I think, you know, you're basing it on a stage play. And I think this probably would be a fabulous stage play to see.
Can I go back? Can we play the Renee Zellweger version again of Somewhere Over the Rainbow? I'd like to see if I can. Let me just, because you know what, Judy Garland's so effortless.
Yes.
You kind of hear Renee Zellweger working, trying to treble through those notes.
I absolutely agree.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
Yeah, different, very different.
When she does that over the rainbow, you can feel the effort behind. And look, and she, you know, she does some amazing kind of physicality. Judy Garland had all these, you know, problems with her spine, which is one of the reasons why she's kind of hunched over. And she was very small. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like 5'1" and even smaller. So when she was on stage, she did all these kind of mannerisms stuff, and some of that's good. But it kind of reminds me of like when Jimmy Fallon's doing Neil Young. You're like, that's really good, but he's going, I whip my hair around. You know, you get what he's doing when he's doing it. It's really, really good. But Jimmy Fallon's telling you, look, here, I'm imitating Neil Young, or now I'm going to do Springsteen, or whatever the case may be, for a whole film. And, you know, the other thing, too, is when you watch, there's a lot of clips of Judy Garland. Unfortunately, there were some memorable train wreck talk show appearances in the 60s. And the clips are more impactful and more incredible than the recreations of them.
So they do recreate those.
One of those in England. It's a little bit like when Will Smith played Muhammad Ali. He was really good. He got nominated. But, you know, that's just so hard. You know, you felt like Will Smith had really done his homework.
Yes.
And it did what he can to, you know, to physically look like Muhammad Ali, and you felt like it was a feature-length impersonation and not characterization and immersion into a character.
That's why it's always best to play long-dead characters, right? Because if in our mind's eye, or even in our filmic world
of the last century,
we have so much informed knowledge of who these people are and how they moved and what they sounded like and all of that, it's almost impossible to catch their spirit. Because Muhammad Ali is arguably the biggest personality of the latter half of the 20th century in America, right? And so how can you possibly get there? And how do you possibly get to Judy Garland, who was this sad, this incredibly talented but sad figure?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I mean, that's why I think that's, you know, Robert Downey Jr., we believe him as Sherlock Holmes because we know that that's just, okay, let's go. You know, it's like, I don't know what Holmes sounded like.
Although, I will say the exception to the rule is Robert Downey Jr. as Chaplin.
Yes.
He did Chaplin in a way.
He absolutely did.
Because when Chaplin came out of the makeup and you didn't, you know, he wasn't the little tramp or the great dictator or whatever, there wasn't a whole lot of film of him. There's some. At the end of his life, when he was, you know, exiled to Switzerland and all that, but there wasn't a ton, and so you almost got to feel like he was reinventing something.
Yeah, it was a brilliant performance, and you know, it's true too. Even when we see famous, beautiful actors and actresses playing historical figures, and they love to always show either the old timey photograph or the painting, and it's like, you know, and so here's, you know, Julia Roberts playing some queen, and then we get a picture of the real life queen, like, oh my God, she was hideous, you know, she had boils on her face, and she was 5'3" and a hunchback. They always show them side by side, you know, and Ryan Gosling as King George the First, and you know, King George was this guy with his nose off the side of his head, you know. Well, they didn't really look like the people they were portraying, did they? It's my favorite.
Hold on. We'll come right back. Richard Roper's going to tell us about The Politician, a new Netflix series with Ryan Murphy from Glee, right?
And, he's the creator of it, yep.
And created. And Where's My Roy Cohen? That is going to be also a very interesting documentary about the infamous attorney. All that's coming your way. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour?
Row 2 Village Halls in the southwest suburbs were raided by the FBI today. We'll tell you what it could be connected to coming up.
RoCon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here. Judy Garland movie with Renee Zellweger. The movie's called Judy. 2.5 stars.
2.5 stars.
Oh, boy.
Right on the fence there. Yeah. And I'm giving the same score to The Politician, which debuts on Netflix this week. This is a limited series, although they've already signed on for season 2. This is from Ryan Murphy, the creator of Glee and American Horror Story. A lot of great stuff. And it's very interesting because it's set at a private school where a high school senior wants to run for school president as part of his grand plan to one day become the president of the United States. He's already got it mapped out. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's got a little bit of kind of like, Cruel Intentions thing. And it's all about the machinations of the election, which is sort of the high school election becomes kind of a microcosm for modern day politics. These kids have learned all the dirty tricks and the campaigns from the last 25 years or so of politics. And then you've got all the scheming parents. Jessica Lange is in there. She's got a daughter who has cancer, or maybe it's one of those Munchausen by proxy things. Mm. The jury split. They think maybe mom is making her sick. Gwyneth Paltrow is in there. She plays the mom of the kid who's running for the school president. She's married, but now she's got her eyes on a woman that she's got a crush on. The woman is played by Martina Navratilova. So you can see where that relationship might
be. I see where that's going. Yeah.
And some of it's really funny and interesting, and then it feels like we're getting a lot of the same thing over and over again in this series. So that's why I'm giving it 2.5 stars. They're setting up for a season 2 where Bette Midler comes in at the end as a campaign operative, and she's just in one episode at the end, and she's fantastic. I mean, she's like Bette Midler in her prime as a ruthless campaign operative who knows every dirty tricks in a separate campaign, because we keep following this kid from high school to college throughout his ambitions to become president. It's a very, very strange show, quite frankly. It occasionally is very kind of beautiful and insightful, and then it's way over the top with the farce. And everybody gives big, 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 big performances, which again,
a little too big.
The chewing of the scenery is going.
Well, again, you know, and I love him, but Ryan Murphy created Glee, so picture a darker take on that with that kind of approach,
with less singing,
less, but some.
They break out in song?
Yes. Well, when there's a funeral service, man, it's a lavish production number. I'm going to do a little song about my friend.
And no.
Starts at the piano. Next thing you know, the angelic choir.
All right, before we get to Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, let's talk about Where's My Roy Cohen?
Yeah, this is a documentary about, this guy, again, talk about, one of the most notorious figures of the 20th century. It's going all the way back to the Rosenberg trial, the McCarthy hearings. Roy Cohen was an attorney in both, a prosecutor. Then went to New York City, where he's from, and became this, famous, flamboyant, attention-seeking, notorious attorney. He was always at Studio 54. He was hanging out with the rich and famous. He was John Gotti's attorney at one point. He had all these famous clients at talk shows. Loved him. He was engaged to Barbara Walters at one point. That's one thing this documentary told me I did not know. And of course, the other thing about Roy Cohen was he led the charge for years for keeping homosexual rights in the dark and working against gay and lesbian rights, even though he himself was, everybody knew he was gay, but he never admitted he was gay. And to the very end, when he was dying of AIDS, he went on with Mike Wallace in 60 Minutes and said, I have liver cancer. These are scurrilous lies. So he always lived a lie. A fascinating figure, not a good guy, to put it mildly, did some really evil things. But that's a guy that's been played by everybody from Al Pacino to all kinds of, actors in movies.
Right.
And when you see the real guy, almost nobody can live up to. He had that look, like someone says in this movie, when you were in his presence, you knew you were in the presence of pure evil. And Roy Cohen often said that about himself. He goes, I don't have that thing called empathy. I don't have that. I don't have it. So I can't feel bad about not having it. I don't care about anyone. I'll do anything to defend my client, which is why everybody wanted to have him as their attorney. Or certain people certainly wanted him as their attorney.
Yes.
So it's 3 stars for Where's My Roy Cohen. It is, if you know his story, you're like, well, I've seen a lot of these stories before. But I did learn things I never knew about the guy. His granduncle is the Lionel of Lionel Trains and founded the company. And then Roy Cohen eventually took over that company because even his family was not immune to his wheelings and dealings. All of a sudden, he's like, I now run Lionel Trains.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where is this available?
It's in theaters, and then it'll be on demand. But it is getting a theatrical release because it'll be up for Academy Award for documentary.
Isn't it amazing how the documentary world has completely changed? Mm. You're lucky if you got a documentary on PBS and when you go to hear the Oscars or watch the Oscars, and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? When they would do the documentary category,
yeah.
And now all of those, not only because of the Netflix effect, but People talk about documentaries now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such an appetite for
it. And
them.
For someone like Roy Cohn, he was always on television from the invention of television. And then there's all this great, like, kind of Kodachrome type footage of him. And it was amazing because he had this very doting, controlling mother. And the minute she died, he fired everybody else working for him and hired only super handsome guys, like his limo driver, his boat captain, his assistant. They all looked like Tab Hunter. Like the day after, because he wouldn't let his mom know, you know, the truth about him. And it was like, oh, that seemed good. Two Rolls Royces. He tooled around in New York. And fascinating character, yeah, to say the least.
All right. There it is. Where's My Roy Cohn? 3 stars for that. Look for it coming up. Do you know which service is going to get it first?
No, I honestly don't. A lot of times now you just Google it and you find out that you can go to Amazon, iTunes, and something at the same time.
Maybe it too. All right. 2.5 for Judy and 2.5 for The Politician, series on Netflix. Chicago stories are told 24/7 on 720 WGN. Chicago smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Cars or Kids brings you Kim Gordon's news.